Well, hi there. Here we are. We're thinking in terms of Father's Day because this is being recorded at Father's Day. The greatest father. Now, the scripture talks about several fathers. It's found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 24. And this is how it reads. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years, and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. And after he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years, and then he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. And after he had become the father of Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived 910 years, and then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And after he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived 895 years and then he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. So we're thinking about fathers, and we're thinking about the greatest father. Now, God is the greatest father. It all started in the Garden of Eden long ago, when God made man. Adam became a father. We learned then that there were many generations which followed. Each generation saw many children born to fathers through their wives. Now, you see, being a father is more than being a male. Now, fathers are taught by fathers. What am I saying? I'm saying the best way to learn to be a father is by a father who was taught by a father. A father is, as I say, more than a male. Male is a biological fact, but a father is a male who is involved in fathering. A father is a provider and protector of his family. The spiritual, relational, emotional, cultural, social, educational, and commercial aspects of life are all a part of who a father is and what he does. Yes, it's true. Mothers are also involved in all these areas as well, but they have a different emphasis. It's very important that households have a father. Because, as I said, this is how you learn to be a father. And in those households where it's unfortunate because the father is not present, it's much more difficult for boys to grow up knowing how to be a father. They'll grow up knowing how to be a male. But growing up knowing how to be a father is a very different thing. Now, we read in Scripture that God is a father. We know that we talk in terms of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is difficult to understand God as Father if a person has never had a father in the home who was loving and nurturing in the aspects of life. Because that is exactly what it takes. This is especially true if a male is to become a man who functions as a father. You see, we first learn at home. In spite of the fact that governments around the world for the last 80 or 90 years have been trying to remove parents from the home and think that a government can raise children better than they can be raised by their own parents, we see schools taking up more and more time of children, and they come out with actually less education, and they're spending more time in schools. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but we first learn at home. It is therefore very important for a father to be present in the home. Now today, we find there are many homes where there is no father present. As a result, there is no balance in parenting. I've talked to mothers who have tried to raise, and they said, well, I've tried to be both a mother and a father to my children. I've talked to fathers who have said, I've tried to be both a mother and a father to my children. It's a very difficult thing. It's very difficult for a mother to teach a young boy how to be a father. It is difficult for a father to teach a girl how to be a mother. You see, God designed the sexes to be wired differently. And this difference is necessary in order to carry out the balance of life in a home. And as I said, it's in the home where we first learn. If you look at the founding of this nation, in this case, the United States, you will find that when families came here, or in even second generation families, many of them lived on farms. And when they lived on the farm, you had the mother, the father, and the children. And sometimes back then, women would die in childbirth, and the father would have to try to raise the children, and usually then at some point he would marry again, and there would be a mother figure in the home. But nevertheless, the children were taught at home. They learned how to take care of the farm at home. They learned their reading, their writing, and their arithmetic at home. Now, later followed schools where the parents would get together and they would hire a teacher to come, and they would build some sort of a schoolhouse, or maybe even use a church building so that their children could be taught the educational things that it was felt very important for them to know, how to add and subtract and multiply and divide, because they needed that for commerce, how to read, how to write, how to have an education. Very important, but it all started in the home. The school outside the home was what? The school outside the home was an assist to the parents in teaching the children. But when it came to learning how to be, since we're talking about fathers, when it came to learning how to be a father, that was taught by the father in most cases. And how did the children learn? They were there with their parents day in, day out, tending to the business of the family farm. Now you say, well, everybody didn't live on a farm. Well, now that's true. Many people did live in towns or cities, and quite often, mom and dad and the children lived above perhaps a retail establishment that they had, or next door to it. So from the very early times in a child's life, they were a part of every aspect nearly of the family life, including the commercial aspect of how they made a living, how they were able to support themselves, how they were to feed themselves. And the father had a very definite fatherly, if you will, role in teaching the boys in the family how to be a parent, and specifically a father. You know, it's very interesting because mamas tend to hug, you know, and boys will hug their mama, but when it comes to dad, they don't usually do a lot of hugging. What you find is, particularly when they're teenagers or maybe a little bit younger, you find the boys want to wrestle around with dad, and they'll, you know, and mom's running in saying, now don't you break anything, and don't do that in the house, and all this sort of thing. But it's very different because that is not the way that mothers relate to the boys. But that's the way the fathers relate to the boys. Because mothers and fathers are different. That's the reason they are physically different. That's the reason they are emotionally different. And that's the reason their functions are different. And now we sort of have this idea that we have this unisex society, which has got everybody confused. But what this world needs, certainly in the Western world, is we need some fathers. We need some men who will be men, more than males, but men and godly men. Now, this may seem to be a bit old-fashioned to some, or even to many, but that is God's design. It's not mine. It's God's design. So take the matter up with Him. I'm just reporting God's plan. Now, how does grace fit into all of this? Well, I'll tell you what. If you were raised by a father and your mother ever said to you, wait till your dad gets home and you're going to get it. And dad got home and mom told dad and dad took the boy out to the woodshed and they're back there behind the woodshed and dad says, listen, son, I'm not going to do anything this time, but if you ever do that again, that's grace. That's one of the ways somebody learns grace. That child did not learn grace without it having been shown, and he had unmerited favor from dad over what had happened. Yes, there's a form of mercy there. The grace provided by God the Father can be best understood when there is a godly father in the home. You see, one of the things discovered years ago is that women who grew up without a godly father had a great deal of difficulty grasping the concept of God the Father. Now imagine if you grew up in a home where the father was abusive or mean or rude or crude or whatever, then what would either a boy or a girl, but particularly studies have found that this really affected girls in many ways, what would you think when somebody said, well, God the Father loves you. Your whole image of a father is anything but godly. We need godly fathers. And there are many godly fathers. Of course, there are many people in our society who think a godly father is a problem because then they teach their children about God. And then their children might teach their children about God. And then where would you be? Because I don't know if you've noticed, my friends, but there is a move in our society to make it look like any faith is the problem with the world. And there's this idea to erase God from the world. Well, let me tell you how that's being done. One of the ways to erase the fathers from the home. How many homes are there in America with no father in them? Oh, I understand that fathers die. my father did. And I was raised by my mother. And I know the challenges that presented for me. But there are many homes today where the fathers are absent because people just decide to walk away from a relationship. Because fathers decide not to act like fathers and they abandon their families, either in fact or emotionally. They may still be in the house, but they may not be godly. They may be rude, they may be crude, or they just may be distant. They may not engage in any way with anybody. They may not engage with the children, they may not engage with their wives. How sad. You see, we've got to have fathers. Society today, in its quest for equality of the sexes, has misunderstood that there can be equality with role differentiation. Just because your role is different doesn't mean you're not equal. That's something we must learn. You know, many people never thought that was an issue, but it's become a big issue today. But children need fathers. Does that mean they don't need mothers? That's not what I'm saying. We're focusing on fathers right now. Fatherhood needs to be encouraged. It needs to be nurtured. And fatherhood needs to be respected. As a matter of fact, you know, the scriptures call for men to love their wives. But it doesn't say that wives love your husbands. It says wives respect your husbands. Well, to be respected, you must be respectable. You can't just put it all off on the one person. We're talking a two-way relationship here. Now, this naturally requires that those who are fathers to fulfill the role God designed for them. We need godly fathers. Now, if you're a father and you say, well, I don't know if I've been so godly, then change and change now. If you're married to someone and he's not being a godly father, then go to your heavenly father who knows everything that you need and understands that you need a godly husband. You be a godly wife to this man, no matter, you know. I'm not saying that you should be abused. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you should have to put up with somebody smacking you around or the kids around or anything like that. No, certainly not. But we must realize that we need to use the power of prayer to bring fatherhood back into the homes. Fatherhood, men that can be relied upon to be first of all husbands to their wives and then fathers to the children. The children come as a result of the relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, women need to recognize, as I said before, that they are wired differently from men and respect that difference. We cannot have a society that is all female thinking or all male thinking. We can't have a society that is all the way women think it ought to be or men think it ought to be. We've got to understand the differences and appreciate those differences. Godly men and women need to understand that children are best raised up in the way they should go by godly fathers loving a godly mother. A godly father loving a godly mother. What more could you ask for in a home in the raising of children? Both mothers and fathers need to realize children must see their parents' relationship as loving, respectful, and strong. It is through this observation and nurturing they will, in turn, duplicate God's pattern for mankind. How do we find out this pattern? We look in the Word of God. If you've got a father who is in the Word of God, I will tell you, I have been in congregation after congregation where you see the mother coming to church, coming to the services, being involved, And you see the boys and the girls being involved, and then the older the boys get, they stop coming. And one of the reasons is because Dad never came. And so that it ends up in the mind of the boy being something for children and women, but that men wouldn't be involved. How sad. We must have strong, loving, caring, godly men in our congregations. Because it is that will set the example. How sad it is when children or a wife have to beg a man to go to church, to go to services with them, to be a part of the body of Christ. We need men who say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and making sure that everybody is ready to go and goes and participates. We need men who will sit down with their families and read the scriptures to them and talk to them about the scriptures and around the dinner table to do that. You say, well, we don't have a dinner table at our house. We're busy. Find a way. Change your life, because you will change the life of your children. You will change the life of your grandchildren. You must find a way to communicate godly teachings, not just in words, but in example. Day after day after day, day in and day out, that people will know. And one day, you might hear your children saying to your grandchildren, oh yes, we always prayed before our meals, and after we'd eat, we would sit around and we would talk, sometimes lightheartedly, and other times we would talk about serious things. Sometimes Dad would get the Bible and put it on the table and read something from us and talk to us about it. That's a godly home, my friend, and we need more godly homes. A nation cannot be more godly than its home. Because a home is where we first learn, not in schools from governments, but in homes under the government of God. That's where we learn. Both mothers and fathers need to realize children must see their parents' relationship as loving, respectful, and strong. There's no substitute for that. It is through this observation and nurturing that they will in turn duplicate God's pattern for mankind. Fathers heading a family as godly husbands and fathers are in the forefront of building kingdom-centered homes. Kingdom-centered homes. Who's the greatest father? God's the greatest father. And God wants earthly fathers carrying out the fatherhood message so that people can understand God the Father. They can understand the relationships. They can understand why God has set about to bring families in a godly fashion to walk in the blessing and cover the earth on every continent and every island that He created. Because God wants His kingdom built, and there's no better place to start building God's kingdom than in the home headed by a godly father who loves, listens to, and relates to the greatest father of all, our God, our Creator, the Lord God Jehovah, who loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that no one's going to perish, and that He sent Him into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Our Heavenly Father is the greatest Father. And that's the message for this session. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we pray, we come boldly to Your throne in the name of Jesus, and we pray for the homes of America, the Western world, and around the world. Send Your Holy Spirit to draw people towards Your kingdom, to draw men to be godly fathers, to come into your kingdom and raise godly children, to have godly wives, and bring about your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the Sojourner saying, until next time, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus.